Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Praise God. Welcome to Anointed Supernatural Radio. We're here for another week exploring keys to the kingdom of heaven. This week we're blessed to have an awesome guest. Her name is Deborah Quick. She was with the International House of Prayer for 6 years on staff. She trained under John Paul Jackson for 2 years and is a qualified dream interpreter under Streams Ministry, which of course was or is John Paul Jackson's ministry. He's gone to be with the Lord in glory, and praise God for his life, teachings, and everything that he left us with. Deborah's been interpreting dreams since the year 2000. She now travels to a few different places in the U.S., teaching, leading worship, prophesying at different conferences, some of which are run by Shekinah International. So I'm just going to check. Deborah, do I have you live on the air?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can. Fantastic.
Hello? Oh, great.
Hey,
great.
How you doing? Praise God.
I'm good.
Hey, so I've got this. You're good?
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
So when I go on Google and I type in IHOP on Google, and the first hit to come up is the International House of Pancakes. Have you been to that restaurant?
Yes. International House of Pancakes is all over the United States. It's a restaurant that I'm talking about is International House of Prayer. It's an international ministry and prayer ministry, 24-hour prayer and worship. That
absolutely
goes all over
not,
the world.
I know. Absolutely. Okay. And I would imagine that Mike Bickle likes his waffles and probably ice cream. I want to ask you a question. You have been doing a few different things, leading worship, prophesying and teaching at different places, and I'd love to get people familiar with your story, but what is the last couple of things that you've been doing as far as ministry is concerned, and what have you been seeing the Lord do?
Okay, well, The last thing that I did was just about 2 weeks ago. We did, me and my friend Chris, who I do worship with, and he's actually a worship leader, and he's an incredible worship leader that I do worship with. But we did a conference under Bob Griffin, who called the Canopy of Love in Olathe, and it was a prophetic conference. Releasing the love of God prophetically, you know, and he talked about Israel and the connection to Israel and the United States and things like that. That's one of the things. And then the other thing, okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going. Just commenting sounds great.
So some of the other things that I do is I've done teachings on dreams and visions, interpretation. That's my first love, the prophetic and dreams and visions. That so I also teach classes at my apartment, you know, occasionally, and I've told a lot of people that I was battling illnesses and I've been healed of about in the past three years I've been healed of a lot of different illnesses and so going through illnesses and but the Lord is so he's so gracious and full of love and mercy, you know, and he's taught me a few things along the way through that also, so.
Fantastic. Can I ask you this question? You mentioned that you're at a conference and there was teaching on the link between Israel and America. I am fascinated, and I know that people listening are really interested in the prophetic connection between Israel and America. Do you have some revelation on that yourself?
Well, yeah, I didn't teach that conference, but Bob Griffin taught that conference. I just did some of the worship. I didn't even do all the did 3 days of worship. But the you know, America was born. The reason America was created was to support Israel, and you know, in the Bible it says, "When you bless Israel, and I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you." And so we were created as a people. A lot of Jewish people came over here because there was. I know that you've heard of the blood moon, the blood moons and all, and I think one of the first ones was the Spanish Inquisition, where they persecuted the Jews, which gave Christopher Columbus a way to get over, and it actually ended up financing for them to come over to the United States, and it ended up being a refuge for not only different nations, but it was mostly born to help the Jewish people, to create a place of safety for the Jewish people, if you go looking back at the roots of all that. So, but so it's so important that there's not a division between the United States and America. It's so important that we pray for Israel. One of the things that as a nation in America that we're called to do as intercessors, as a church, is to make sure that we always pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we always pray for the protection of Jerusalem. And, you know, in the end times, the Bible says all the nations are going to come. There'll be a war in the end times against Israel, and it says all nations will come against Israel in the last days. And so there's a lot of upheaval, warfare, and, you know, the Bible says in the end times there'll be rumors of wars and earthquakes and all kinds of things that will happen in the end time. So more than ever, I believe that we have a mandate as a church to make sure that we pray for Israel and that we support Israel. And it looks, you know, when our president, it looks like that we're not supporting America, but our country, there's a remnant in our nation. There are Christians all over the United States that we pray, everybody that pray daily. I know IHOP prays daily for, they have a prayer room just for Israel, and they pray. And Mike Bickle's heart is totally towards Israel, and we totally 100% support Israel and pray for them daily. You know, if not hourly, Israel gets prayed for. But so that's next to salvation, and you know, winning souls, and of course, loving the Lord and our neighbor as ourselves with all our hearts. That's one of the number one things, not the number one, but one of the major things that we're called to do in America is pray for Israel. And not just America, but the whole world, all Christians everywhere, that's a call to pray for the peace of Jerusalem on a daily basis. And the Bible even says you'll be blessed those who pray, if you, when you're blessed Israel, you become blessed. And not that you do it to get blessed. You do it because of your deep love for the Lord. And out of that deep love for the Lord, you love what He loves. And He loves Israel, so we love Israel because He loves Israel. And it's almost as if you had, if you were married and you love your wife, you love what your wife loves, or you love what your husband loves, because that's on their heart. So we know Israel is always on God's heart. And so Israel has to be on our heart.
Absolutely.
I just want to say one more thing. Israel is forever. Yeah. So Israel will never, Israel, you know, it's a place where Jesus is going to come back and reign. And so Israel will always be here forever and ever and ever. Israel will never, even though all nations will come against Israel, it will always be here because it's God's chosen nation, God's chosen people.
Absolutely. And I just think that, as you said, you know, in these end times, there is a revelation about Israel, specifically about that physical location on the planet, as well as for the Jewish people. It does say that God has something in store for the Jewish people. At the end, He hasn't forgotten them. You know, we need to pray that just like any religion, whether it be atheists, Muslims, or whether it be the Jews, we need to pray for mass harvest into the kingdom of heaven and people finding salvation. I want to ask you this, and it really is relevant. This is really relevant to everything you've just said.
Okay.
You know, especially you know, being in the end times, the book of Daniel. It talks about that there are revelations, mysteries, things that are hidden that are not going to be revealed until the end. In Daniel 2:2, it communicates to the reader that Daniel interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I want to ask you about a few questions. So can you describe to us, how does dream interpretation work for you, since you really have a gift of dream interpretation? How do you feel dream interpretation is relevant to the times, the end times that we live in now? And my last question on that, and you break it down how you want, how can people start to tap into that gift of interpreting dreams for themselves?
Okay, well, first of all, I just want to say this, that, you know, one of the main things that John Paul Jackson taught us, and he really made sure that all interpretation belongs to God. It says in the book of Genesis that all interpretation is of God. So anytime you have any dreams or any visions, the first place you go is to God and Jesus, and, you know, ask Him, you know, show me the interpretation of this dream. It's kind of like you may not be able to play the keyboard, or you may be able to play the guitar perfectly, and you may have all the keys and all the notes, but if you don't have the anointing that goes behind the notes, and you don't have the anointing that goes with it, you may sound good, but the real purpose of what's supposed to happen is not going to come out, because you're playing a bunch of programmed notes that are good, and not that they're programmed, but that they sound good and everything, but without the anointing, they're just clanging cymbals. And so it's kind of like, let me just give an example. When I first learned about dreams and visions, I remember I was working as a nurse. And I remember there was a conference, and there was this big, large church, and I went in. I didn't have my nurse's uniform on, so they didn't know I was a nurse, because it wasn't a church that I went to. It was a church I was visiting. And so I went up for prayer afterwards, and at the time, I was working as a nurse, and I was the injection nurse, so I gave foreign shots, travel shots. I gave shots to all the kids, so that's all I did was give shots. I probably gave 200 shots a day. So anyway, I go to the front, and this man starts praying for me, and he's pretty a bold, loud man, which, you know, I'm sure he meant well, I'm sure, but he starts prophesying over me. He goes, "Drugs, drugs, she's on drugs. Lord, deliver her from drugs." So all of a sudden, it's really loud, and everybody's coming over to me. So everybody, I have like 10 to 15 people surrounding me, trying to get me delivered from drugs. And so I had it, you know, I'd just been learning about visions, but I didn't know a lot about, you know, dreams and visions at that time. So I asked him, "What is it you're seeing?" And he said, "I'm seeing hundreds of needles." Well, I knew he was talk. I knew that what he was seeing was something from my job related, because I had some things going on at my job and job related things. And so for me, those needles, they represented my job. They didn't represent drugs. They represented my job. So there's a lot of, so if you can imagine being young in the prophetic and young in dreams and visions at that time, how humiliating that would be for somebody that would walk out and may never come back to church again. But I had been saved for a while, so I knew the Lord, and I knew that he just didn't know better, even though I didn't know a lot at that time. And so I left, but I was so humiliated. But it was a lesson for me. It was one of the biggest lessons that God gave me, and I have so many lessons like that where, you know, people have relationships, people have gotten married because they have seen, like a boyfriend will see a lady and he'll think it's his wife because he had a dream that was his wife and things like that. Because dreams are symbolic and visions are literal, but dreams are symbolic. So, you know, in the Bible, you have, you know, dreams, you know, we're called to break down dreams. So there's things like today, like there was another example. Is it okay if I keep going?
Yeah, this is great. Keep going.
Okay, so there's another example that I knew about, that a church split almost happened because one woman who didn't have the knowledge of dreams and visions, she had a dream. And in the dream, both these couples were married, but there was a man that was rubbing the back of the woman's shoulders. And while she was rubbing her back, this woman has a dream about this that doesn't know about dreams and visions. So this woman wakes up and she decides that they're having an affair because he's rubbing her back. Well, what happened is finally it got caught the attention of this couple that actually taught on dreams and visions. And it was told them what the dream was. It was told to them what the dream was. One thing in dream is a lot of people, when you have dreams about people, it's not about the people. It's about the meaning of their name. It's about their character. It can be about the biblical meaning of their name. Well, what happened was this man was actually he was an intercessor, and he was praying for this woman. And so when they looked up what his name meant armor bearer. So she was being an armor bearer for this woman, rubbing her, you know, he was shown to rub her shoulders. And what the interpretation of the dream was that they weren't having an affair at all, that she was going through a lot of warfare, and she was in ministry, her and her husband were in ministry. And this man had a call to intercede for them because he was an intercessor. And so he was bringing relief to her shoulders, the weight that was on her shoulders, by interceding on her behalf. But because dreams and visions were not taught, there was almost a split in that church. You know, the church almost split up. I also have a very good friend of mine that they got married, and they're both divorced now. The marriage didn't last, and I don't even think they ever had slept in the same room, according to, you know. Anyway, but they split up because they got married because of some dreams they had, but they didn't understand the interpretation of the dreams. And I know people have moved to other countries, other cities, other states. They said, well, I had a dream, I was supposed to go here, I had a dream, I was supposed to go there. But they don't understand. That's what it means in the Bible, where it says in the book of, in Joel 2:28 and in Acts 2:17, it says, in the last day I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your young men shall see, your young men shall have visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Well, it's not talking about, when it says young men, it's not talking about literally young men. It's talking about when you're first coming into the prophetic, which were the last days the prophetic is being poured out. When you first come into the prophetic, a lot of people, I'm not saying everybody across the board, but a lot of people, what the young men in those scriptures means, it means young in the Lord. And old men means mature in the Lord, because they're able to break down the dreams, and they're able to break down. It's almost like a puzzle, and you have to work the pieces of the puzzle together to learn how to do dream interpretation. And so sometimes it isn't instantly, and so I'm gonna roll here. So anyway, So symbols in a dream, a lot of time we have dreams and visions. We'll have a symbol. For example, I'll give an example, another example. I had a lady, when I had a ministry in Houston called Shekinah International Ministries for about 8 years, and we were going through a practice of, you know, I taught how to interpret visions and some dreams, and so we were going through a practice for the people who were learning, you know, a class. So I had people lined up, and then I had some people that were guests that came in so that they could, they could interpret their visions. At that point, it was just visions. It wasn't even dreams. So at that time, it was just visions that I was doing. Because I always start with visions first. So anyway, I was walking around listening to, you know, trying to, you know, help people out. And I heard this one lady that was practicing, and another lady, I heard her say about rainbows. Well, I knew a situation about the lady in rainbows. She goes, well, you know, I heard her say, God, she didn't say rainbow. She actually said, God loves you. His covenant is for you, with him, for you. And so I just had this feeling, what are you seeing? Are you seeing something? And she goes, yes, I'm seeing rainbows. Well, rainbows to her meant God's covenant of love, but rainbows to the lady she was speaking to, the daughter, she was dying of leukemia, and she was the mother that she was speaking to, and the daughter had, her whole room was decorated in rainbow. She had rainbow everything. She had rainbow wallpaper. She had rainbow toys. She had a rainbow desk. She had rainbow, everything was rainbows. So to this woman, rainbows represented her daughter and the promises for her daughter. So there was a kind of a mix-up because the interpretation of what she saw, she was giving what she knew in her mind instead of what the other woman, instead of what it meant to the other woman. So a lot of times we'll pray for people at the altar, and we'll tell them, we'll see things in a vision, or we'll hear things, and we'll interpret it with our soulish realm instead of by the spirit. When what I mean by soul is by the things that we know and we understand in our mind, will, and emotions, instead of the things by the spirit. Does that make sense?
That's perfect. I think that you just brought a whole lot of revelation that people really need to hear, especially when you said that the book, where it says in the book of Joel, it prophesies about young men and older men having visions and having dreams, and young men having visions, that's not actually describing a natural age, it's describing a spiritual age. And the reason, and you said the reason for that is because the dreams are like puzzles, and it takes maturity with the spirit of revelation to put those puzzles together. I'm probably in agreement with you. I think that right now, as we are again in the last days, and the spirit is pouring not just himself out on believers, but unbelievers, we really need wisdom and revelation and teaching on visions and dreams so that we can properly interpret what God is saying to the world and what God is saying to the body of Christ. So I think that is really fantastic. And I would also just like to point out to people that, you know, when you, as Deborah said and described in that story of, you know, the husband and the wife not understanding their dreams and they ended up splitting, or people moving to different countries is due to one dream. See, the Lord will, when there's something big coming down the pipeline of your destiny, God has no problem bringing multiple confirmations. In fact, it says in Corinthians that two or three judge the word. And we had the first show that we did, we had Michael Bacon on, and Michael pointed out that when he gets a prophecy, it'll sit with him, and there'll be an unction inside of his spirit, but he's not going to act on it until he receives a similar word two or three times. Or he said that he receives a revelation that when we prophesy over each other, or when we're describing revelation, whether we received it in a vision or we received it in a dream, that it's actually meant to be in front of other believers so two or three can judge. Now, you're not judging the person. What you're doing is you're weighing the revelation, getting understanding on the revelation, you know, discerning what the spirit of revelation is from. So I think what you said is really powerful.
Yes, please, go for it. Absolutely. Well, I just felt like it was important to give this one last example that just came to my mind. And I remember I was I lived in Houston at this time, and I remember a lot of times, well, there was this ministry that was receiving the power of the Holy Spirit was falling on this ministry. People were getting healed, delivered, set free. They were receiving signs, wonders, and miracles, and they were. And this other person heard that I was going to visiting this place on Friday nights, and so really powerful place. And I was getting touched tremendously. I still, just thinking about them, I get touched by that ministry. But anyway, this person saw me hanging out at that church, and everybody was drinking wine. A lot of times people, if you don't, the other thing is we have to know the Word of God, and we have to study the Word of God, because the Bible says, study to show yourselves approved. Because if we don't know the Word of God, and when we see things, like this guy, he saw me hanging out with a bunch of people, and we were all in a church in his dream, but everybody was drinking wine. Well, it was the new wine that was being poured out, the wine of the Holy Spirit. But he thought it was literal wine, and I said, I don't even drink, And so but it was the new, he was, anyway, it was talking about the new wine. So a lot of times, when I first started hearing about the prophetic, I would see wine, I would see bottles of wine, or like I had a dream recently where there was a bar in my bedroom, there were servants there ready to pour out the wine, and it was this old fine wine. And so, but the interpretation, if you don't know about dreams and visions, you'd think, oh, wow, Deborah has a room full of wine, But what it represents is that, if you didn't know any better, you would think that. So, right? Because if you were not taught dreams and visions, you might have these judgments in your heart against people. And just because you had a dream about them, that really is supposed to be interpreted, because it wasn't interpreted correctly. It causes divisions everywhere. So anyway, so the dream was about your bedroom represents a place of intimacy with you and the Lord. And the wine is the old wine that's been sitting for a long time, sitting, waiting, and now it's being ready to be poured out. So it's represented is what the Holy Spirit's doing new is ready to be poured out. Even if you don't feel like you're ready, even if you don't feel like, we're human, so a lot of times we don't feel ready for things and things like that, but that's another story. So my point was, I guess it's important to know the Word of God and to study the Word, so that when you do have dreams and visions, and, I'm not in any way perfect. I need to study more, and even more than I do, but if we don't know what we're studying, if we don't know what we're seeing, then we won't be able to interpret any dreams at all, and we'll just have these judgments in our hearts when it appears in our mind to be negative, when it really could be positive.
So it's not a good idea to have a room full of wine.
No. But
No, please.
I thought I wasn't going to have enough to say, and here I can't be quiet. No, I'm just kidding. But there is a scripture I wanted to give you. Did you want to say something?
No, please go ahead.
Okay, well, in Job 33:14-18, it says, it reveals the general Hebrew opinion of dreams. It says, for God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering in their bed, then he opens the ears of men and he seals their instructions. And we forget that he seals our instructions in dreams. And then it says, in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. So one thing he's doing is when we're awake during the daytime, we have all these, we're thinking about jobs, we're thinking about careers, we're thinking about families, we're thinking about ministry, and we're thinking about how we're going to pay bills, how we're going to do this, and how, just our mind's always working overtime. So that's why it says that he puts us in a deep sleep so that he can open our ears and seal our instructions. And, I was thinking of the word seal your instructions. When a king seals an instruction, which Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so when he seals our instructions, it's final. It's you know, if a king has a seal, when a king stamps the seal, it's a done deal. It's done. It's finished. So.
Awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, there's so much to dreams and visions, and I always use the example of an instrument. When you first, if you play a key by itself, it doesn't make sense, right? Like if you play a key on a piano, or if you just play one string on a guitar, it's not going to make any sense. But so really, you take the chords and you put them together, and it's like a puzzle being put together. And it's kind of like, and I use that example because once you put the puzzle together, then and the anointing comes along with that, then we as the body of Christ receive the interpretation of what the person is playing in a song and a worship.
Absolutely.
And from the throne room. We may not exactly understand all of it, you know, but that was the other thing that I was going to say. One thing, as a Christian, that we get our information from the heavenly places, you know, and that we sit in the heavenly places next to Jesus. In Ephesians 1, 3 through 6, it says, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, when he chose us in him by the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless by him and love, he predestined for adoption his sons through him. Well, that's not really the one I wanted to read. But anyway, it says that we are seated. I think it's Ephesians 2. It says, our priest offers himself to God as a single sacrifice of sins. Then he sat down in a place of honor. And that we sit next to him in the heavenly places. And so, one thing is that we have to go to the heavenly places and sit next to Jesus, and we sit there spiritually. That I got a new revelation on that, and so we have to interpret dreams from that place, and not from the earthly realm, not from our soulish realm, but from the heavenly places. We have to interpret dreams from there and get them from the throne room and get them from the Holy Spirit, or else we're going to misinterpret, you know, dreams. And we have to be willing to be patient enough, because I remember John Paul Jackson, he said, you know, sometimes he'll interpret hundreds of thousands of dreams, but sometimes it would take him a week or 2 weeks to interpret dreams, and he never interpreted his own dreams because a lot of times we know ourselves and we know all our weaknesses. And so sometimes, especially the more you know somebody, the more you know the soulish realm, because, you know, the soul, once you know a person long enough, there's the flesh comes out and the soulish realm comes out. But, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's really good. And Ephesians 2:6 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ.
Yeah.
Can you look? You've got revelation on this. In fact, you're writing a book on it. I'm interested, what is your interpretation of heavenly realms? Have you seen some of those heavenly realms?
I have. During times of worship and during deep times of prayer, and even sometimes when I'm not in prayer, I've gone up to the throne room and I saw I see the angels, and there's different rooms in heaven. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of Kat Kerr, but she talks about being transported up to heaven. And I've been to places in heaven, and I've seen the throne room, and I've seen different places and the angels and things like that. And a lot of Christians do see that. And the deeper that you go into worship, and then you go in, the deeper that you're in prayer and worship, the more you get revelation. But I'm sorry, can you tell me the question again?
No, I think you answered it. But would you be able to give us, to describe to us one of those encounters that you've had where you have seen something in the heavenly realms?
Okay. I'm just thinking of one that happened I've had so many, I don't know. Well, during worship, a lot of times, and God has a sense of humor, too. I want to tell you one thing that he does about us. I went to the throne room, and I was where there was a, you know, there were stairs up to the throne room, what looked like stairs, and all the angels were lined up on both sides. And then I saw Jesus sitting on the throne room and during worship. And it's like, well, why did he show you that? And it's like, a lot. It's for encouragement, and it's for, it's because God wants to show you that he's intimate and show you that, and it's biblical that he does sit on the, you know, he sits on the throne. He's on the throne and sits next to the throne of God in the heavenly places. But some of the other things that I've seen, I remember when I was sick, and that's a whole other, that'll take another hour to tell about all that stuff, but I was healed of 14 different diseases. I have like two more to go, or two or three more to go, but I was healed of 14 diseases. And so I always tell people, juicing in Jesus, you know, so Jesus first, juicing second, you know, because anyway. But I remember I was laying on the floor, and I couldn't even get up, and I saw a vision. I saw the Lion of Judah walk in the room, and he had a crown on his head and all the jewels on the crown. And he walks up to me, and he drops a scroll into my lap. But I have to tell you, you know, at that time, I was in bed for 3 years, and I couldn't even raise my head at that time. And if I would have been wise and I would have done the right thing, I would have taken that time and taken that scroll that I felt like it was to just devour the Word of God and devour all the things he wanted to show me. But there was a time there that I was a little bit angry, and you know, of course, since I've asked God to forgive me of all that, but, you know, there was a time where I could have received a lot more during that time, you know, if I wouldn't have been frustrated and focusing, you know, on the illness instead, use that illness to focus. And what I've since done is use illness to draw me closer to God, to focus. Not that he causes it, he never causes it, but he uses it, you know, once it happens, he uses it for his glory. But I just remember that line of Judah, and, you know, I just used angels, and, you know, one time I was sitting in church, I saw, you're probably going to laugh at this, but God does have a sense of humor, and he does use cartoons, and I was sitting there, and, you know, the minister was praying the fire of the Lord, and I was actually sitting on the floor and with my friend, and we were laughing because the Holy Spirit came on us. I was just getting hotter and hotter because, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's like the fire of God. I don't know. I'm just saying that for those who may not have experienced that before, that he comes with his holy fire to touch us. The fire isn't to destroy us. It's to bless us, you know. Anyway, and it's so that we'll use that fire for his glory after he touches us. It's not just to keep for ourselves. And anyway, I was on the floor and with my friend, and I saw a vision of a cartoon jalapeno. And I was like, and it was leaning against my back, you know, and I'm like, why on earth? At that time, I was like, why on earth am I seeing a jalapeno? And then the Lord said, and then the minister was saying fire. He was releasing fire, you know. And, of course, jalapenos are hot, and when you put them in your mouth, they burn, you know. So the Lord is saying, I'm putting fire in your mouth to use for my glory you know, first of all, to cleanse myself, you know, and the fire to cleanse me, and then to hopefully go out and, you know, release that fire to others. So, yeah, but he used a cartoon, you know. So, I mean, he uses, and so many, there's just so many different things that, you know, he shows us in visions. One time I was in a meeting, and it was a conference, and it was like a real, a pageantry type of conference, and I had a vision of, there was a big giant cross, and people were pushing it up to the front, and in the middle of the cross, there were all these there was all the worshipers inside the middle of the cross. And as the cross got closer to the front, to the altar, the more the people started multiplying in the middle of the cross. And the cross was leaning kind of back, and the people were pushing the cross, but they really couldn't push it. It was as the people were worshiping, as the people started worshiping and worshiping, the cross kept getting pushed forward closer and closer to the altar, which to me that represented, you know, the spirit, what the spirit of worship does, you know, what the spirit of worship can do, like Jehoshaphat, when he ordered all the worshipers to go forth to fight the battle. And I can't think of the whole story right now. I should know that story. But anyway, the battle was, you know, the dancers and the instruments and all those went forth. And they won the battle. And I think it was it 3 days? Was it 3 days? I can't remember how many days it was. But anyway, so they won the war just by worshiping. And I just had a dream. Do I have time to tell this one dream about?
Yeah, go for it. Tell the dream.
Okay. So I just recently had a dream, and I know everybody knows that there's all these wars, and there's rumors of wars, and there's earthquakes, and there's tsunamis, and there's birth pangs to the end times. That, you know, I think most people know that we're in the end times. Well, I had this dream, and in this dream I live in Kansas City, so what I saw was Red Bridge, and I was on Red Bridge near Warnell Hall. Well, no, it wasn't. Anyway, it was on Red Bridge near Warnell, that area. So what I saw, the same street as where I happened, I saw the road start folding up. Like there was a scroll, and it was being, it went up in the air, and it was being rolled up, and these cars and everything were falling down. And then all of a sudden, all over the place, there were hurricanes and tsunamis, and they were getting more and more and more, and it was increasing, increasing, increasing. And there were volcanoes coming at me, and then there was hurricanes coming at me. Then there was, and in every case, I just missed disaster by 2 seconds, and there would be a small island, and somebody would pull me through a hole in the wall, and then all this thing, and it was happening to everybody, not just to me. And it was like there was a major earthquake or something happening in the area. But and then the ground split, and it cut off. It split Dallas and Oklahoma went in one direction, the United States went in the other, the rest of the United States, and it was like a Y. And I remember seeing John Paul Jackson and Chuck Pearson, where the Dallas was. And anyway, but all of a sudden, I landed on this one part, and the whole dream was dark. All of a sudden, this hand came up and pulled me up into heaven, and then said, "No, it's not your time," and put me back on earth. And then all of a sudden, I heard this same hand just scream, "Tell them to worship, and it'll stop. Tell them to worship, and it'll stop." So all of a sudden, I screamed, "If you'll just worship, all this will stop. All the chaos and all everything will stop. If you just get your instruments and worship and praise me, everything will stop. But you have to worship me in spirit and truth with all your heart." And so, and not just a ritual thing of worship, but in spirit and in truth, and a deep heart for worship, and just to worship me. So all of a sudden in the dream, everybody started worshiping. So all of a sudden the clouds cleared, the sun came out, all the chaos, all the wars, all the hurricanes, the tornadoes, everything just completely stopped, and everybody was worshiping, and the sun was shining out, and everything was perfect. It was like perfect peace everywhere. And so it lasted in the dream for about 15 minutes. And after 15 minutes, and everybody went back to their old, everybody went right back to the way they were. They quit worshiping, and it all started happening again. And so I think, you know, I think one of the keys for the end times is for us to worship and us to continue to worship the Lord, even when times look really bad, just to worship, because God inhabits the praises of his people.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The Lord is releasing sounds into the earth for the worshipers. If they have an ear to hear, they can take it from heaven and release it into the body of Christ. The body of Christ can then join in the procession of the heavenly choirs which brings
Yeah.
the glory and the throne room, the throne down to the earth. But we are running down on time. I am going
Okay.
to, guys, I'm going to attempt to take some calls. Now, I know that there's quite a few that have called in to listen to the show. So I don't want
Okay.
to put you, for those callers that have called in to listen to the show, I don't want to put you on the air if you just called in, if you've just called in to listen to the show. So I'm going to give the number out. I'm going to give it out twice. The number is 929-477-1864. That's 929-477-1864. One more time. 929-477-1864. Now, if you've tuned in via the phone and you're listening to the show that way, if you want to ask Deborah a question, I'm going to ask, because I can see all the callers, I'm going to ask that you would hang up now and call back in, okay? Because I'll see you
Hi,
go
Dave.
off the air. Yep.
Hi, David.
Yep.
Can I give just really quick one more thing?
Well, let me just hold on. Let me just get this out, and then I'll get you to. I'll get you to. So I'm
Okay,
just
that'll be great.
I'm going to take
Okay.
a I'm going to take a I'm going to take a couple of calls from people. A few people just called in, and
Sure.
you can ask Deborah a question. And Deborah,
Okay.
I'll let you say what you're going to say. But also, if I could just guys, if you want to head over to propheticonfire.com, that's my website, propheticonfire.com. You'll find a link to my webcast, and Deborah's going to be doing the teaching and the ministry this week, and I'm going to get her to teach on visions and dreams. So she's going to do a whole teaching on visions and dreams, and then she's going to prophesy over people that are tuning into that webcast. So that webcast takes place. You can get the link on my timeline on Facebook, or you can go to my website, propheticonfire.com. And if you go to propheticonfire.com, you can hit the radio live or the webcast live link, and you can watch it directly on the website, or you can hit the link and go to the specifically to the webcast. But that takes place on a Thursday night, 8 p.m. EDT. That's Thursday night, 8 p.m. EDT. Okay, that's New York Standard Time, USA Day Thursday. If you're tuning into this from another country and you want to tune in, do a comparison on Google. Now, Deborah, can I just get you? You can go forth with what you're going to say, but really quickly, can you pray for just a
Yeah.
real quick impartation of visions and dreams for people listening?
Yes. Is that the one for here? Or what's the 440? I'm sorry. I just wanted to tell a revelation to worship leaders. And this felt like I was supposed to really say this before I go. The what's his name at Morningstar? The Don, huh?
John Potter.
Don Potter at Morningstar. Has, if you go to Google, this isn't about dreams and visions, but it's related. It's all relatable because the sounds are part of prophetic too. But before World War II, was it? Hitler had changed all the sound to all the hurts. Well, so now they changed. It was before.
It's 4:44.
It was four. It was
Change it to 4:44.
Hitler changed it. It was 432 before Hitler changed it to 432 to change the sound. Because what happens when the, and there's a whole writing on, I don't know a lot about this, but my best friend is a worship leader and he told me about this and I read it and it's under Don Potter under Morningstar. And the when you play your instruments at, what is it, 432, at the hertz 432, then it releases healing. And I mean, healing is released anyway because of God and His power and His mercy. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say. But you can look that up on Don Potter, Morningstar Ministries, and he has an article about that. But I just thought that was a really amazing thing to know about that. So, okay.
Awesome, absolutely. Now that's a whole nother hour right there.
Yeah.
I'm about to hit. I'm not going to read out people's whole numbers because if I read out
Okay.
your whole number, that's not good for your confidentiality. But okay. So I'm going to hit the first three digits of your phone number is 423, and I'm about to activate your mic.
Yeah, this is
Hey
Jeremy.
there. How you doing, Jeremy?
Hi,
Hey.
Jeremy.
Hey, doing good. I was gonna ask Deborah if Well, basically, I had a couple of dreams that have occurred. I guess it's been a few months back, but just seeing what you guys think about this and everything, because one of the dreams doesn't go in like the kind of get my words out, but the one of them doesn't. It's kind of different because it doesn't say too much about it in the Bible. So I was just going to see y'all's thoughts on it and everything. But I'll tell you the first one real quick and the second one, and then let you pray on it a little bit or something. But the first one is the very first one that happened. This was a few years back, actually. Was I had a dream that I saw the Earth, and I was like standing. I don't know if it was like on the moon or something. With my mom and another lady, and the lady, I don't know who the lady was in front of me, but there's a lady in front of me, and then to my right was my mother, and then I slowly, like, looked at my mom, and then I turned and looked to the left, and then I saw, like, 5 to 7 stars fly by, and, like, kind of like in a row, like in a sequence, and then they landed on the Earth. It was like I was in outer space or something. And they landed on the Earth at different points. The only thing that came to my mind was in the book of Revelation, but that talks about the stars and stuff. But and then the next dream was I had probably a couple months back. It was like I was, and I'm still fairly new to this, so I'm trying to comprehend in a way, but I basically was, it was like a night dream or a vision or something. I was asleep, but I don't know if you can have like a vision while you're asleep. I'm not sure, but anyway.
You can.
Yeah, so I was like, it was almost like I was like in heaven or something, because I like saw like whiteness all around. And then I saw, I believe it was, you know, it was Jesus's arm and his hand. I was standing there, and it was like Jesus was standing behind me. And I've kind of been praying a little bit on it. I don't know. The Lord might want me to possibly share this with churches or something. I don't know. I'm still praying about that. But then so I saw his arm, like, stretched out kind of in front of my face, his arm in his hand, like he was close behind me, almost like he was maybe going to give me a hug or something. I'm not sure. But and I saw the hole in his hand. It was in the palm of his hand. And it was like a hole about the size of a U.S. quarter. It was in the center of his, like, right in his hand, the palm of his hand, and it was hollow. And that's pretty much, like, all I saw. And I saw whiteness around his arm and his hand.
Well, in a vision, what you see is, in a vision, what you're seeing is literal. He's just giving you another revelation of what he did on the cross, and that the work is finished, and he only shows you his hand, nail printed hands. He's showing you that, you know, he probably did, you know, you may have gone up to heaven in a vision, you know, or you could have gone, you know, you can go up to heaven. So he's just revealing to you his love for you, and he's reaching out to you and just showing you how much he loves you and what he did for you, and to remind you that the work of the cross is already finished, that it's already done. And his love for you, he's reaching out to you in his love. And on the first dream, on the earth and the moon and the stars, there is a scripture, but I can't think of what it is right now. And a lot of times, if you're standing on the earth, I was thinking about, it sounds like...
I was standing on the moon or something, or up, like I was up above like the earth in a sense, or something.
So on that one... Yeah, so in the Bible, this would be a whole other teaching, but there's a first, you know, about the first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven, where the moon and the second heaven is where the moon and the stars and the I'm gonna have to pray about that first one, because a lot of times in a dream, your mother could represent, the mother represents the church, and so I feel like the fact that you were you were praying from the second heaven over the earth. That's what I felt like you were doing over the church. You intercede a lot for the church.
I know I've actually prayed when I received my prayer language. I prayed, and it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. I I just closed my eyes, and nobody had to lay hands on me. I just closed my eyes, started praying in the spirit, and for a good while, and then a few days later, and I felt the Lord like stirring in my belly, like He was like, I don't know, it was like His presence or something. But and then I also a few days later, it sounded like I was like changing languages or something, like from like, it sounded like first I started out in like almost like a, like, I don't know, it sounded like ancient Greek or something. I mean, I'm really not sure, but, and then it changes, and then, yeah, it was like went to Chinese and sounded like Japanese and Spanish or something.
Well, it sounds like God's given you a spirit of intercession to pray in the second heaven, you know, to pray over the church, over the earth, you know, the whole church in general. But I still want to check out in Revelation about the 5 and 7 stars. So, you know, what I tell people is let me pray over that, and then, you know,
yeah.
I don't know your mom's name or anything, but I don't think, you know, I have a feeling this is more about the church than it is about your mom. So, but it
yeah.
sounds like, so is this a vision or a dream?
It was a dream, but it looked,
it's,
I mean, it looked pretty, yeah, it looked vivid too.
Okay.
And stuff. So, but I don't know, it was vivid, but it was like kind of hazy in a way. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, because you said you were on top of the earth and the moon and the star, and there was the moon and the stars, but I know there's a scripture in Revelation, and I can't think of what it is right now, so I'd have to look that up and get back with you on that. But if you want to, so let me pray about that one, and, you know, if you want to,
yeah.
I'm on also on Facebook, so
okay.
you can, you know, I can look that up this afternoon or this evening, it's the evening, or I can look it up, you know, after I get off the phone and then pray about it, and then I can, you know, get back with you.
All right, yeah.
On that. But so I'm just looking at it without praying about it or anything. It's just, I feel like it's praying from the second heaven, and that you're, you know, what I mean by second heaven, I don't know if I'm just talking to you right now, if I'm talking to everybody, but the first heaven is the atmosphere of the earth, the second heaven, and Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians. So, and you know, there's the heavens. God talks. There's so many scriptures. I have about 30 listed that I can put up. But there's, you know, in the book of Genesis, God talks about the heavens. You know, we've been creating the heavens and the sun and the moon. You know, and the heavens and all that. And so, so anyway, the second heaven. That's where, you know, the ark. You know, in Daniel and. When Daniel trained for 21 days, and the archangel Michael came to help in warfare in the heavenly. So there's a lot of war. The warfare that we go through is in the second heaven, which means between the atmosphere of on earth and heaven. So there's a lot of warfare in between the throne room where Jesus sits on the throne. That's where the third heaven is. The first heaven is the atmosphere of the earth up until the sky, and then beyond, you know, the universe, you know, where the stars and the moon and the sun, that, you know, beyond
yeah.
that is the second heaven where all the warfare.
Yeah, I don't
so,
want to keep you guys too much longer, but I was just going to say, is there any way one or both of you guys could just pray for me, pray it out and everything, and then I'll just real quick, just
yes.
like a quick little prayer in general, just for, I'm just kind of seeking the Lord on confirmation for a few things right now as well, and then just a little more direction and stuff and guidance from him.
All right. I'll tell you what we'll do, Jeremy. We will connect with you off the air.
Okay.
I just want to, sorry, because we got 40 seconds just left. So
okay.
Everyone, come back next week, next Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. EDT at the same place on the Blog Talk Radio. We'll have another anointed guest on. I've got a few big things that the Lord is lining up for the next few weeks, which should be exciting. And I think that we will put more time in for people to be able to call in and ask the person being interviewed more questions. But I want to thank Deborah for coming online. Now, she does have Facebook. It's Deborah Quick, and you can just go.
Yeah.
And you'll find her on the friends list there. So God bless you all. Thank you so much
yeah.
for tuning in today. Please contact us on Facebook. Bye-bye.
Am I off?